in 2001. And that very first service, some of you were there, as we were serving communion, a person who was new to Christ Church approached the person who was serving bread and approached this person with reticence because this person had never received communion in a liturgical setting before. They had never been in a setting where you actually came forward to receive communion. They had only been in settings where basically communion was brought to you in your chair or pew. The liturgical assistant serving the bread said, "The body of Christ, the bread of heaven." The person received the bread and said, "Thank you." To this, the liturgical assistant responded rather curtly, "No, it's amen." Needless to say, this person was shamed and embarrassed while receiving communion, of all things. Not really a very good way to welcome a guest. Now, another story, and that person never served communion down here again. About 5 years ago, at our late service on Christmas Eve, there was a group of young people who had come, and they were sitting in the very back of the nave. And I knew that they were not from Christ Church. I really didn't have any idea, like, how did they find out that we had this service, whatever, but they were there. And during the time of communion, I ended up serving at one of the standing stations. So in the nave, we have stations where you kneel to receive communion, then we have standing stations. So I was serving the bread at one of the standing stations, and I saw, okay, this, as things were winding down, this group of young people were all coming toward me. And it was clear to me that this was not something that they were used to, you know, that maybe they had never been in a similar kind of setting to receive communion. But for one of the girls in the group, I could tell that there was something more going on. And as I watched, I could tell that she was really scared. Like, really scared. And I got the distinct impression, and maybe I was wrong, but I had the distinct impression, I don't think she's been in church in a while. And she was literally trembling. Like, you know, if she believed that God was going to strike her with a bolt of lightning for daring to enter this sacred space, she thought it was about to happen. And she just stood there in front of me, just shaking with anxiety. Now, given her clear lack of familiarity for what was going on, I could have taken that opportunity to instruct her about all of the rules about how you receive communion properly at Christ Church. But obviously, that's not what the moment called for. So I just looked her in the eye, and I said, "It's okay." And I just reached down, and I took her hand, because she was just, and I took her hand, and I just lifted it up. I placed the bread in her hand, and I just said, "Jesus loves you." And I guided her to the person serving the wine. Now, in theory, you know, it's not wrong to want people to do things the right way. It's, you know, it's not wrong to instruct people about what those ways are, to let them know about all the rules and protocols that govern our life together and receiving communion and so forth. We hold the sacraments in high regard for good reason, and communion should not be received lightly or in an inappropriate manner. That's all good, but removed from the actual experience in time and space, you know, in that particular moment with a scared, trembling girl standing right in front of me, I just knew that was not the time to be focused on that. To do so would have been to repeat what happened in 2001 in this room. It would have shamed her and ensured that she never came back to Christ Church, and probably would have even created in her a hostility toward Jesus himself. This was a moment to extend care and concern and compassion to a person who was very afraid. Now, in our Epiphany series, Healing is Revealing, we're studying four different healing stories from Luke's Gospel, the beginning of Luke's Gospel, where something unique is revealed in these healing stories about Jesus' life and ministry. And our passage today is Luke chapter 6, the first 11 verses. Jesus is placed in a situation where he can either follow the rules or he can break with convention and compassionately meet a need. You know, Luke tells us in chapter 5 that Jesus has already revealed his authority to forgive sins by healing the paralytic. That was the sermon last week. And the religious leaders just freaked out. They called this blasphemy because they understood. Wait a minute, only God can forgive sins. But in this situation, Jesus makes another claim that is so outrageous, and we're so removed from that culture that it's hard for us to get the impact. But Jesus makes a claim that's so outrageous that they don't even know what to call this. You know, the law of God directed that every person had to rest from their work one day a week on the Sabbath day. Now, that was actually a wonderful command. The world of Jesus' day, there was no day of rest for most people. They worked every day. And so this was a new thing. That, no, wait a minute. There needs to be a day of rest, a day that you set aside, that you honor God, you keep that day holy, you rest from your work. And so that was good. But the religious leaders, you know, they said, well, we don't know what that means. How do we keep a day holy and rest? And by the way, what's work and what's not work? And so they created these very lengthy set of what I call the rules and regs. Okay, when I was a tax accountant, you have the Internal Revenue Code, the tax code, but then on top of that, you have thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of rules and regulations. And what are they for? Well, they're trying to explain what the tax code actually means. And there's so many of them that you can't even possibly know what they all are or follow them. It's kind of like what it was for them. They had the actual law of God, but then they had all of these rules and regulations trying to define what it meant. And for the average person, there was literally no way they could know what all those regs were and obey them. Well, on the Sabbath, there were 39 types of activities that the rules and regs said that you could not do. And that included reaping grain, which is what the Pharisees accused Jesus and his disciples of doing. Now, Jesus' reply, his answer back to them, really kind of rocked them back on their heels. He reminded them of a story in 1 Samuel 21 where David, perhaps the most revered person in their sacred history, the man after God's own heart, he reminded them of this story where David himself broke the rules. He broke the rules by eating and sharing with his companions the bread of presence in the temple. Only the priests were allowed to eat this bread. But in essence, David, in his conversation with the priest at the temple, he said, look, my mission, the mission that I'm on with my men is more important. In this moment of hunger that we have as we're trying to carry out the mission, it's more important than the laws surrounding, you know, the bread in the temple. Now, he didn't say that the rules governing the temple bread were just should be just thrown out. He didn't say that they weren't important. But in that instance, human need, their hunger, superseded that rule. Now, in today's passage, Jesus equates what he and his disciples did to what David and his men did. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, my mission, the mission that I'm on with my disciples is more important in this particular setting than all of your rules and regulations about threshing grain on the Sabbath. And to take it a step further, Jesus said that he was Lord of the Sabbath. And they knew what that meant. I mean, read Genesis. Who instituted the Sabbath? God himself. So he says, look, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. This is my day. So don't lecture me about what the rules are. Luke goes on to say that a second incident took place on the Sabbath. The healing of the man with a withered hand. Now, in Mark's version of the event, you know, it's this event is in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So in Mark's version, he talks about the fact that the Pharisees become very angry with Jesus about healing this man. And why? Why did they become angry over healing someone? Well, because they got confused. They started to think that all of their rules and regulations, whether it was about keeping the Sabbath or a whole host of other things, they got confused and started to think that those things took precedent over everything else. And Jesus just directly confronts them on this. You know, Jesus, in essence, by healing this man, he's saying, look, the Sabbath is about restoration. The Sabbath is about replenishing that which has been diminished. The Sabbath is about, you know, repairing or fixing what is broken. And so to heal this man with a withered hand is to do exactly what the Sabbath is actually all about. You know, in that day, most people earned their living with their hands. And so to have a withered hand would reduce a person to a life of begging. So Jesus not only made him well physically, but he restored to him his human dignity. Was it breaking the rules to heal this man on the Sabbath? Well, God's word in Scripture certainly does not prevent it. God's word just simply says, you know, keep the Sabbath holy. It's a day of rest. But they did have all their rules and regulations. And I think they had these with every good intention, you know. And some of these rules and regulations say, look, you know, if you're like giving medical care, you don't do that on the Sabbath unless it's a life-threatening circumstance. Again, I think they had good thoughts. I mean, doctors need to observe the Sabbath just like everyone else, okay? So unless it's life-threatening, no. And clearly, that's not the case here. This was not life-threatening, at least in the physical sense. But it should be observed, you know, when Jesus healed the man, he didn't actually break any restrictions concerning work because he didn't do anything. He just spoke. There were no rules against speaking on the Sabbath. And he just said, stretch out your hand. He didn't have to work to fix the man's hand. He just said, stretch out your hand, and boom, it was done. But the Pharisees, you know, who were looking for a reason to accuse him, they just didn't really care about that detail. Jesus knew they were going to use this against him, but he didn't care. He purposely called the man to front and center, standing in front of everyone, so that everyone would see what he was about to do. And he asked them a piercing question. I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Jesus broke with convention. He healed the man. And in doing that, he upheld the true meaning of the Sabbath. You know, it's clear from this passage and many others in the Gospels that Jesus placed the well-being of people above the meticulous following of all the rules and regulations. He didn't throw out the law of God. Far from it. He came to fulfill God's law. He said, every jot and tittle of it. You know, so Jesus didn't throw out God's law. Like, he never said, you know, it doesn't matter if you steal, or it doesn't matter if you commit adultery. No, he didn't throw out God's law. Jesus even lived according to their rules and regulations almost all the time. All of those thousands and thousands of pages about what it actually means to keep the law, he observed most of those all the time. But there were definitely times when Jesus very intentionally set aside those rules. And when were those times? When did he say, no, the rules don't apply? Well, it was when those rules actually got in the way of extending Sabbath to people. Jesus set the rules aside when the rules themselves actually were at cross purposes with God and his kingdom. You know, when that was the case, it was simple for Jesus. He broke with convention, even at great personal risk, to restore health and dignity. We see that the early church understood this. When the early church broke with convention, we read about it in Acts chapter 15, the first Jerusalem council. When they decided at that council, look, Gentile Christians do not need to be circumcised. They do not need to observe all the ceremonial law of Moses. They broke with convention and said, no, we're not going to make Gentile Christians do all that. And it's a good thing they did. We wouldn't be here otherwise. You know, we cannot ever set aside the true law of God. Like I said, we can't just decide, well, stealing is okay, or murder is okay. No, we can't do that. But our rules and customs, you know, our rules and regulations that kind of govern our life together, how we worship, how we relate to one another, all of that kind of stuff. You know, stuff like what you're supposed to say when you receive communion, or when you're supposed to make the sign of the cross, and all these kinds of things that govern our life together. You know, those things are good. Those things are, in many cases, necessary. But we need to be smart enough and humble enough to know the difference between those things and God's law. We observe those things, yes. But those things can never be made more important than people. And when those things present a stumbling block to loving people, then we set them aside. And we love the people who are in need. We, like our Lord Jesus, we need to be prepared at times to break with convention, as he says, in order to save life, not to destroy it, to restore people's health and dignity. Now let's take just a moment, a quick moment, and let's enter into a time of prayer.